I've been thinking about this lately. Do you ever get bogged down by looking at the 6 o'clock news? I thought so. Sometimes as I don't watch the big three anymore simply because I can't get them. I get PBS only. And so on occasion I watch a little PBS news. But I read some Christian literatures, and I read and I listen to some Christian radio, and I look at some internet headlines once in a while, and I see the news, and I see the headlines, and you know what? I think about that song that some country western gal sang, I think, in the 80s. We sure could use a little good news today. And it's easy to get disheartened, I suppose, and it's easy to get discouraged. And as I have read this passage from 2 Corinthians, and as I have pondered it these days, I wonder if God has given America a thorn in the flesh. I wonder if God in heaven, who has so blessed this nation, hasn't he? I mean, isn't this the greatest nation on earth? Isn't it a blessing to live here? And yet I look at the news and I look at the headlines and I look at the discussion that our leaders discuss, and I wonder about the good news. And I wonder sometimes about the good news of Jesus Christ in our nation. And I suppose it's easy for us to get discouraged. I suppose it's easy for us to get to see that what seemingly picture of gloom and doom. And I suppose it's easy for us as believers to say, Lord, how long? How long are you going to tarry until you come back and receive us unto yourself? And I've been thinking about this idea of thorn in the flesh, personally, of course. But we can apply it to churches. And I'm also starting to think too about maybe there's a thorn in our flesh in America. Maybe there's a thorn in our flesh because God needs us to be in a weakened state instead of a proud state to use us again. I don't know. But let's look at this scripture from 2 Corinthians 12 today and be reminded of thorns, weaknesses, and grace. I'm going to be reading it from the New Living Translation. If you have your Bible, please follow along. If you'd like to look at it on the big screen, that is fine too. But I'm thinking more and more lately about our weakness versus His strength. And I'm afraid that too oftentimes the scale gets tipped the other way. We start to hang on to our strength, and all we get then is we leave God in a weakened state. And the balance should be the other way, His strength in our weakness. You know, a while back, I mentioned to you, maybe a month or two ago, I mentioned this. I said, God is more concerned about your righteousness than your happiness. Do you remember that? Oh, don't feel bad. The first service didn't either. But I did say that. I did say that, and I'll say it once more. God is more concerned about your righteousness than your happiness. Why? Because God wants us to be an obedient people. Does He want us to be happy? Sure He does. Did He put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden so they would be happy? Of course. But He is concerned with the righteousness of Christians today in America, more so than if I'm comfortable and happy. Because He needs a faithful, obedient, righteous people today in America to stand up and be counted, if you will, as Christians. And so I said the other day, perhaps it's long ago than that, that's maybe why you forgot it. But I said, God is more concerned about your righteousness than your happiness. I didn't say He wasn't concerned about your happiness. I said He's more concerned about your righteousness. And what I'm going to say next goes right along with that. So listen to this. God is more need of your weakness than your strengths. Now, you can wrestle with that a little bit. You can ponder it. You can write it down. You can look at it later today. You can disagree. That's all of that is okay. But I want us to look at this example of Paul here in 2 Corinthians in just a moment. And I want us to think about our weakness, our frailties, our righteousness versus being puffed up and look at what I can do, look at what my nation can do, look what this church has done, and all that stuff. I believe that God has more need today of your weakness and mine than our strengths. You say, Jim, I thought we had been blessed by God, by the Spirit, with a gift. We have. We have been. And God needs that. But when we begin to let that get in the way, begin to let that cloud our thought processes, our thinking, our judgment, then He has more need of your weakness than your strengths. You might say, well, I don't agree, preacher, because I've been pretty good at this, or I've been pretty good at that, or God has blessed me here, or God has blessed me that. But sometimes I fear that when we start to develop that attitude, we get all hung up on what I can do. Get all hung up on what this church did, or that church did, or this nation can do. And I fear that we get all hung up on the we and the me and the I's more than we focus and concentrate on the Master, on the Heavenly Father. And I fear that when we just fall into this, I guess, all of us, myself included, I've been there. We get to that process or that thought process that says, boy, I'm feeling pretty good about this. Even though it might be a direct blessing from God, I believe it's in our weakness that He can use us best, because it's in our weakness that we look to Him. It's in our weakness that we fall on our knees in utter dependence upon Him. It's in our frailties, not in our strengths, that we look to Him. And I feel that, you know, when we start to get this puffed up feeling and this puffed up attitude, be it a nation, be it a church, be it the preacher, be it myself, I feel that we must remember then what Rick Warren said in the first opening statement of his book. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the denomination. It's about Jesus. And so I just want to run this by you a little bit today. And suggest that God has great need of our weaknesses. He has great need of your weakness, and sometimes more than your strengths. I'm not saying that He can't use your strength. I'm saying He wants to. I'm not saying He won't use your strength. I'm saying He will. But I am saying that they can get in the way. I'm saying they can get in the way of the kingdom of God if we are not careful and if we allow it. And so, I know that you might be saying, Jim, I don't agree, and that's okay. But let's just take a look at Paul's example in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In these first few verses, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. In these first few verses, Paul is saying, you know what, folks? I had an experience one time. I haven't said a whole lot about it. Matter of fact, I haven't written to Rome or Ephesus or any of the other places about it. But I had an experience one time. And that's what he tells us in four verses. And so let's listen to this experience. Let's listen to this background before we go on to the point that I've mentioned here. This boasting will do no good, Paul says, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in the body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. Did you know that was in there? Did you know Paul had been caught up to the heaven of heavens? Of course you did. You've read through it. But Paul puts four little verses together and said, I could boast about that. I have been in the presence of God. However he did it, he said, I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body. All I know is what I saw. Words you couldn't even talk about. so astounding, they cannot be expressed. And so he gives us this background. I was there into the third heaven 14 years ago. And so he sets the stage, if you will. I had this wonderful experience. I had this great revelation. I did this, I did that, whatever it was. He sets the stage here, but then he says in verse 5, but this experience is worth, that experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I got a glimpse of eternity. There's a book by that name. Did you know that? A lady wrote that back in the 70s, My Glimpse of Eternity. And of course, there's 90 Minutes in Heaven Today and lots of other books with this kind of thing that people say has happened, and some of it could be. But he said, Paul simply says, that experience is worth boasting about. I was in the presence of God, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to boast about that. I will boast only about my weaknesses. Now, when you have conversation with somebody, you're on the factory line, or you're across the fence from your neighbor on the farm, or you meet him up at the feed store, or the grocery store, or whatever. Typically, do you start talking about your weaknesses? That's what I thought. We typically don't emphasize the weaknesses, do we? But look at what he says here. And just hear me for a moment this morning. When I say that I believe God has a tremendous need of us in our weaknesses also. He said, I've been to heaven. I've got a glimpse of eternity. So wonderful, I can't even describe it. Can't even talk about it. But I'm not going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about my weaknesses. And then he says, if I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it. Because I don't want anyone to give me credit. You see that? That's key there. Take the emphasis off himself and put it back on God. I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God. So, Paul says, to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. He goes on to say, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three times, he said, I begged the Lord, take it away. Each time, the reply was the same. Each time, he said, my grace, Paul, my grace is all you need. He said, I'm begging before God. I've got this thorn in my flesh. And you know, we can surmise what that is. Different commentators say different things. It might have been eyesight. It might have been some other physical malady. Some commentators even say it was a person or persons. I don't know. But there was this thorn in his flesh. This reminder, if you will, to get on our faces and on our knees in utter dependence upon him, upon Jesus. And so he says, I was given this reminder to keep me from becoming proud. I was given this thorn in my flesh. And I asked God, take it away. And his reply every time was the same. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. You see what he's saying here? I think what he's saying to me, Jim, I don't need some puffed up preacher. Jim, I don't need some puffed up church. I don't need some puffed up America. I need people that will humble themselves and come to me in their weakness, in their weakened state. Can he use us? He has. But when we have this experience, whatever it is, or things are going good for us in life, or whatever it is. Is it possible that we, like Paul, should say, I'm not going to boast about those good things. I'm going to talk about my weaknesses. That's not natural, is it? It's not natural for us to talk about, you know what, I'm not too good about that. I didn't do too good there. It's not natural for us to talk about our weaknesses. And Paul said, that's what I'd rather do. Because he said, I've had this wonderful experience with the Father. And yet he gave me this this thorn in my flesh. And even though I said, Father, would you remove that? Would you take that away? Every time he came back to me and said, my grace is what you need. My power works best in your weakness. And then he went on to say, so now, Paul says, I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. Those of you that know Johnny Erickson Tata, remember what she said. You know, about 3 years into... let me give you this. If you don't know her, she, as a teenager, dove into a pool, broke her neck, been paralyzed from the neck down ever since. That's 40 years ago. And about 3 years into it, Johnny said she was angry at God, of course, and she was angry at life, and she was bitter, and a friend of hers come along, and she said, Johnny, you're not the only one. You're not the only one suffered. She said, as a matter of fact, Jesus suffered a whole lot more than you have. And Johnny didn't let that sink in and make her more bitter. She began to use that to come around and start looking to the Father. And you know, some years later when she wrote had somebody write out her biography, you know what she called that accident? She called it that blessed intruder. And here's what she said, same as Paul. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that... the power of Christ. You think she'd be ministering to the world from a wheelchair if she wouldn't have broke her neck? Wouldn't have been happening. And this is what Paul says. And this is what Johnny said. And this is what many, many others can say. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Jesus Christ can work through me. In my weakened state, in my flimsiness, in my frailness, in my inadequacies, God can work through me. So that in my weaknesses, the power of Christ, he said, can work through me. That's key. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. And here's what he concludes, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And so I conclude these two phrases out of here. First of all and foremost, my power, God said, works best in your weakness. And I believe that we in the church, I believe that we in the pulpit, we that teach, we that are just part of the body of Christ, need to recognize that it is God's power that works best in our weakness. Amen? I believe that. And second, I take from this Paul's wonderful words that says, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. Now let me throw a little play on words out there for you, and you wrestle with this a moment. Could it be, and ask yourself this for yourself, for the church, for America, for whatever you want to apply it to, could it be that my strength is my weakness? You don't get it. Work with me here. Could it be that I am strongest when I recognize I am weakest? Could it be that in my weaknesses, God can finally use me? Could it be that in my utter dependence upon Him, He can finally get through to me? That's why I challenge myself with this and I challenge you with it. And I'm not sure there's a right answer, but this is the question that comes to me. Could it be that my strength is my weakness? In other words, when I am in my weakest state, that is when God is strongest. I think it's possible. I think that's what Paul's saying. I think that's what Johnny said from the wheelchair. Some of you, I mentioned this first service, but maybe most of you don't know Yogi Berra. But this sounds like kind of a little bit like a Yogi Bearism when I say, could it be that my strength is my weakness? It sounds confusing. It sounds backwards. It sounds mixed up. But I believe that His power, the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, His power and His glory are made more perfect when we in our weakened state come to that place of total and utter dependence upon Him. And I don't know what the thorns might be assailing you today, but I know you got them, and I know I get them too. Matter of fact, I had one guy the first service say to me, Jim, I'm still trying to figure out what the thorn is, but I know I got it. And so sometimes we wonder about what it is, I suppose. But we know that there's this thorn to keep me from becoming proud, maybe. To keep me at my humblest, maybe. To keep me in that weakest point so I'm dependent upon the Master only, not dependent upon me. Oh, look at what I've done. Look at what God has done through me. This. Not dependent upon me. I think it's in our weakened state that He can use us most. Sometimes there's going to be thorns in your life. Sometimes there's going to be the thorn that brings us back to the reality of His grace. Brings us back to keep us from becoming proud. Brings us back to humble, utter dependence upon Him. There's going to be unpleasantries. You say, Jim, I don't like unpleasantries. Matter of fact, I don't like thorns. Paul probably didn't either. Matter of fact, I don't either. I'm not so convinced. I haven't had a thorn all week. I haven't felt good all week. But I believe when God said to Paul, my grace is all you need, my power works best in weakness, I believe He meant it. And I believe sometimes we've got to get weakened a little bit before we finally look back up and seek the face of God. Things do not go well sometimes in our lives, even as Christians. The devil is trying to harm, trying to tear families apart, trying to hurt, trying to tear churches apart. There's two of them in our immediate community right now, within our geographical area, that are stuck with a thorn, let's say. But thorns have a way of bringing us back to a dependence upon the Master. That's what Paul said. I could boast about being to heaven. I could boast about having that glimpse of things so wonderful you can't even imagine it. I could do that. But he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. Because when I am weak, he said, and he meant in his flesh, when I am weak, then I am strongest in the Lord. That is when Jesus says to his followers, I believe, in our weakened state, now I'm going to really use you. Now I can really use you. My power works best in your weakness. And now I believe he says, I can use you in this condition. You've taken your eyes off your strength, and you're starting to put it back on me. And we don't have time now, so let me just refer to Isaiah 42 in conclusion. I read some verses from Isaiah 42. Tim, you can pop that up there if you want to. But primarily, if you get to verse 8, that's all I'm going to talk about. But in Isaiah 42, God talks, he says, I am God. He says it over and over and over. I did this, I did this, I did this. I am God, he says. He gets to verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to anybody else, nor share my praise with carved idols. And you know what I think he's saying today to me and to the churches and perhaps the world, certainly to America? I think he's saying, I need you in your weakened state. I think he's saying, like he said to Paul, I will not give my glory, share my glory with you, Paul, even though you may have got a little shot at heaven here. I will not give my glory or share my glory with pastors, popes, priests, or presidents. I am God, he said. And God gets the glory. God gets the glory for the things, the good things that happen in my life, in our church, in your churches, in America. God gets the glory. It's not about, look what I can do. And so, I think that we do well to remember that God said to Isaiah, I am the Lord, that is my name, I will not give my glory to anybody else. I don't have time to tell you any illustrations. I told a couple of illustrations earlier this morning, but let me just say this. When Paul said, for when I am weak, then I'm strong, I think we have to listen closely to what his story was and what is said here. And when God said to him, "My power works best in your weakness," I think we have to listen to what he says. You know, we could talk about churches and the success or the lack thereof of them. We could talk about churches, and I'm talking to myself here too, because I've been part of a church all my life. Not been a pastor very long, but I've been part of a church. We could talk about churches that are filled with themselves and pride, or filled with the living God. We can talk about the weaknesses of ourselves versus the strength of God, the living God, in the church. But I think what it would behoove us to remember today is that God can use us when our dependence is upon Him, not ourselves. And if perchance we should get a thorn in the flesh in our personal lives, in our family life, in the church life, or in America, that drives us to our knees in desperation and utter dependence upon Him, then is when we really can be used, I believe. Paul could have boasted about getting caught up into the heavens. He could have boasted about, "I've been to glory." But he said, "I'm going to boast about my weaknesses." And so I don't know what kind of thorn you're suffering with today, brothers and sisters. I know they're out there. But I know this: take heart. Take heart when the thorn seems worst, because God says, "I can use you. I can use you in that state." So take heart in Him, and take heart from Paul that said, "I'm not going to boast about all the good things. I'm going to boast about my weaknesses, because in my weaknesses, He's made strong." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've said it before, we'll say it again: oh, how we need you. And Father, forgive me, forgive us in America, forgive us in the church for being boastful or prideful, and perhaps having the attitude, "Look what I have done," when we should boast in none of that, but boast in our weakness and boast in what you have done. And so, Father, we humbly and gratefully pause before you today, saying thank you for the thorns in our lives. They hurt, they're unpleasant, they're uncomfortable, but it puts us on our knees in dependence of you, O God. That's where you can use us. Thank you, Father, for still being there, even when you have allowed the thorn to penetrate and bruise and hurt. Thank you for still being there. Thank you that your grace is still available. Thank you that the message rings true for us too. "My grace," you said, "O God, is all we need." Thank you for that promise. So use us, O God, in our weakened state. Use us in our humbled state. And if we're not there yet, O God, if I'm not there, then I need, and America needs a bigger thorn. Because we need to depend upon you. Father, we love you, and how we need you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.